have you turn in your pew Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then we're going to flip back into Matthew and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And my series continues, what does the Bible say about that? And the topic this morning is human sexuality. And I want to just say that this is going to open the door for you families to have conversations with your children, and maybe they're going to hear some words that they're not used to hearing across the pulpit, or does it really say that in the Bible? And you have an opportunity to speak to your teenagers into this, and maybe some of your younger children as well. And so, you know, if they hear some words like, what does that mean, Mom? What does that mean, Dad? Take some time today, and maybe throughout this week, to address some of those things. So you're not going to hear anything harsh come over the pulpit today, so don't be like, oh, what's he going to say? Nothing like that, but words that we're going to go through today, and we're going to look at what God designed for human sexuality and what that means for us, and so, and what that looks like in a healthy way and what it does not look like as well in the world that we live in today. And so if you're at home and you're joining us as well, I encourage you to do the same thing there with your families as well as we continue in this series. This is a culturally very hot topic that I'm going to address today, and many people speak against the church when it comes to this topic, but I want to address this just head on. I have nothing to hide but to proclaim the truth of God's Word, and that's what I want you to hear today, and I think our world is in desperate need to hear this truth. And so some of you might find yourself in this situation like, this is not where God wants me to be. Now, this is not condemnation to you. This is encouragement to move, to get to a place where you're not living in that situation of being in a sinful relationship or whatever it might be that you find yourself in. And so I want to encourage as well, because I know that I'm also preaching not only to those that need to hear the good news, but also to those that are saved, that have salvation, the church. But it's a good reminder to us today as well. And so let's begin to look at God's design for human sexuality today. So follow along with me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28, and 31. Now there might be a little bit of a repeat from some other messages previously, but we're going to go off in a different direction with them with human sexuality today. Verse 27, 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I'm going to quit right there for today in verse 28. But then go to verse 31 with me. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So we know that what God created was good, male and female. And he also created what we'll get into here in just a little bit, the unity of marriage as well. Now let's go to chapter 2, verse 24. How many of you, a question for you, how many of you have I done your wedding in here? I know, yeah, there's some hands going up. There's some weddings that I've done for you in here, some young couples and maybe some older couples that I was involved in that. So when I gather a family together on the night of the practice, this is the verse that I share with them, and we have a time of prayer together with the family and this couple. And I think it's such a huge verse, but follow along as I read it to you this morning. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. That's what marriage looks like. That's what we celebrate. And so I just want to look at that as well this morning. Now let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. And if you read a couple verses before it, it talks about, you know, leaving your father and your mother, and they're united as a husband and wife. The two become one. And then verse 6 says this. So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The bond of marriage, what that looks like and what God intended for that. And now turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. Now, we also need to realize that there was just a lot of sexual immorality going on, even in biblical times. And so God addresses that in Scripture. He addressed it in the Old Scripture. He addressed it in the New Scripture. But this is what he says, what's going on. Because obviously, people are sleeping with people all over the place. It didn't seem like people cared. And then God says this: "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband." So I'm going to stop reading there today, because we have plenty to study and talk about just in those few verses. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your written word this morning. May you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and may this message be your words and never mine, Lord. I pray you fill me with that Holy Spirit as I bring the word to your people today. And Lord, for those that are listening, whether here in this sanctuary, at home, online, Lord, may you bless them with the presence of your Spirit. Open their hearts, their minds, and souls to hear and to learn and to live your teaching. In Jesus, I pray, amen. I have a little story for you this morning. There was a 3-year-old boy that went outside with his dad to see a new litter of kittens. And on returning home, he was excited. He was just breathless because he wanted to tell his mother that there were 2 boy kittens and there were 2 girl kittens. He's excited. And so his mother asked him, "Well, how did you know that?" Dad picked them up and he looked underneath, he replied. And then he said this: "I think it's printed on the bottom." You know, that 3-year-old boy, he is totally innocent of what a sexual maturity, what sexual relationships, what God had designed for humanity in these types of relationships to be. He doesn't know yet. But he knows the difference between a boy and a girl. I can guarantee you that. But other than that, this young mind is waiting to be shaped and taught what human sexuality is all about. He's waiting. He's innocent. And it can go for the same for a young girl as well that you might have in your family. In today's culture, many things will shape his young mind about human sexuality. The culture will tell him one thing. A parent or parents might tell him another. But what is the true source of right and wrong when it comes to human sexuality? Scripture, the Bible. It's untainted, right? Our lives, our minds are tainted by sin and the world that we live in. But we can turn to Scripture and we can find the truth of what God says. This is what it should look like. This is what I want it to be. This is how I want it to go in the world that you and I live in. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we dig into this Scripture to have those conversations. Talk about them often in your house, because the world will. They will teach your children something, and probably not the right things. And so we have 2 questions I want to just wrestle with here this morning in this message. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there are 2 questions we need to ask ourselves about human sexuality. Who created it, and was it meant for good? Because there's a lot of bad that's associated with it today in the world that you and I live in. And so let's answer those questions, and we're going to look at also what it's not this morning too. So if we're 2 followers of Jesus Christ, we don't come to a conclusion based on our own thoughts, our own ideas of what human sexuality should look like and be about. And if we think that we got it figured out and we think that we can come to that in our own minds, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some difficulties in life. And never, ever should a Bible-believing Christian follow what the culture is trying to teach or persuade or to do. We should always follow the Word of God, Scripture. You know, we did a I did a message with you a couple months ago already in the authority of Scripture, and if we're going to truly be followers of Jesus Christ, that means we dive into the Word of God and we take it for what it's worth and we follow it with all our hearts, minds, and souls as we live our life. But Genesis 2 verse 24 says that it was created and ordained by God, human sexuality. And we're going to tie that into marriage here in just a little bit. So this is what it says. This is why a man should leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They become one flesh. Marriage. Now, there are several things going on in this verse that I want to break down with you this morning. But there's one thing that I want to bring to you this morning, just a little fun here this morning. How many of you have teenagers that live under your roof this morning? All right, they are a joy to have around most of the time, right? But get this, is a word of hope for you this morning because it says that at some point they're going to leave. Woo, right? They're good kids, and I love them. But the Bible says that someday they're going to leave your home and they're going to be united to their wife and they're going to start their own family and their own home, whatever it may be. Now, that's pretty exciting news. So you have just a limited amount of time to teach them what God says. What's marriage look like? What should a sexual relation look like between a man and a woman? How should they treat each other? How should they love each other? How should they respect each other in the confines of that? That's what I want you to take home today as well. Teenagers, if you're listening here this morning, I know some of you are in here, and I want you to understand what God intended for this to look like, because there's a lot of things that we can do that are not godly today. In fact, we might find ourselves in some very sinful situations. So let's just dig into this verse just a little bit more this morning. All right, so we get into verse 224. It says, united to his wife. Now, God is speaking of the marriage covenant here. It says that a male will leave his parents and be married to a female. That's significant in the world that you and I live in today because nothing else outside of that should exist. That's what God says, right? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which I read to you, it's on the bottom of your screen. It's actually verses 2 and 3 there. It says, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. And the husband shall fulfill his duties and the wife shall fulfill his duties in that relationship. That's the institution of marriage declared by God. And there are many more verses that I can bring to this, but for the sake of time, I can't do that this morning. But the Bible is clear that sex was created to be enjoyed between one man and one woman who are in the covenant of marriage. And that's it. That's what it says. Matthew 19, verse 6. If you got your Bible open, you are welcome to follow along with me this morning because I'm going to throw some other verses at you as well that might be in your outline that I want you to take home and just look at and read through as I go through these this morning. But here's what it says. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's what marriage should look like. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what God intended it to be about. We got anybody that's married in here that's been married for over 60 years? Anybody? 55? 4? 50? There we go. Here we got some 50, right? I mean, those are godly examples of what God expects marriage to look like. Right? Forever, till death do you part. So God intended it to be. And that's what we should strive for as believers in Christ. Male and female, the two becoming one. And I shared with you that anything outside of those boundaries is not considered a marriage in the eyes of God. And there's some weird things that are going on in our culture today of like civil unions and unions and common law marriages. And so many people have different ideas of what marriage should look like. But what I'm teaching you this morning, that's God's plan for marriage. And it's spelled out in Genesis. And it's spelled out in the book of Matthew, in the book of Ephesians, and other places in Scripture as well. What it says. Now let me ask you another question. Is it necessary for everyone to be married? What do you think? That is correct. Now don't get confused here. That does not mean that you're allowed to have sexual relations with whomever you want because you're a single person. That is not what God is teaching here. What I'm trying to tell you is that some people are called to live a single life. Celibate. No kind of sexual relations by God. And that is totally fine. In fact, that's encouraging to us as married people to look up to those people that are called, because here's what 1 Corinthians 7 verse 8 says. Now to the unmarried and the widow, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Right? Paul's speaking there and he says, do what I do. In other words, he's saying your first focus in life should always be God the Father in heaven. Not your marriage. And for surely, not your sexual relations inside of marriage. Now, those are good things, don't get me wrong, but God says, I want your focus to be right here on me, no matter where you find yourself in the world, married or unmarried. And so it's okay to be single. We have a few of those in our congregation as well. God calls them to that. You know, if you a look in Matthew 22, verse 30, it speaks briefly, and I am paraphrasing here this morning, that there won't be marriage in heaven. That's an earthly thing. So, you know, I'm sure right now you're thinking, oh, well, am I going to know my wife or my husband? And some of you are thinking, well, I don't want to know who that person is. But you know, you're going to know who your spouse is, I'm pretty sure. You're going to know who your children are, I'm pretty sure. But you might probably won't be married, because the Bible says we won't be given in marriage in heaven in those situations. It's an earthly thing that God has given us. So keep that in mind. And by the way, I meant that as a joke there just a little bit ago, that some of you are okay to be married in heaven, but some of you are like, no, I'm ready to be a single person up there, right? Yeah. But let's dive deeper into Genesis 2:24, and they become one flesh, is what it says in Scripture. Now, a couple consummates the marriage through sexual intimacy, correct? Now, to answer the second part of our question, is human sexuality a good thing? And I can tell you, yes, it is a great thing, right? God designed it for good. For our pleasure, and we're going to discuss some other things here in just a little bit. But if you look at Genesis 1 verse 31, God created the male and female, and it says that they shall leave their mother and father, and the two become one. And then after that it says, and everything was very, very, very good. And what he intended it to be. See, sex is not a bad thing. It was never intended to be a bad thing, but the world has twisted it and perverted it, and they've kind of taken control of it in the world that you and I live in today. You know, when God intended marriage between a male and a female, some of us, most of us, all of us, carry the attributes of God in some form or some way. Not all of them. But you have the ability to love, don't you? God has the attribute of love. You have that in you. When you get married as a male or a female, you carry that attribute into that marriage. Right? Men, you carry other attributes of strength and maybe authority and protection. And a woman comes into that marriage with the ability and the attribute to be a mother and to love and to nurture. And when the two come together, it's a perfect picture of God in heaven. Now, we don't have all the attributes. We're not eternal, and we're not all-knowing and all-seeing like God is. But God has given us some, and what marriage is intended to be is it's created in the image of God. You see, and in anything outside of that, it's not the image of God. It doesn't work. The attributes aren't there. That's what the Bible teaches. And so you carry those attributes of God into a marriage relationship. You know, and then God says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful, right? Have children. Raise families. God designed the family unit. And I'm going to be honest with you, culture's working very hard at trying to destroy that family unit that God created. Right? But God designed the family unit. It's designed for good. Families are good. Now, let me tell you a few things that I want to share with you this morning. If you have your Bible open in Genesis 1, verse 28, it also says this about a marriage relationship. God blessed them. He blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful. Increase in number. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. If you think that our world is chaotic and it's messed up in the life of a family today, it's no different back then. There was divorce way back in the Old Testament, right? They're given a paper because, you know, the hearts got hard and they couldn't get along anymore, and they were allowed to divorce in the Old Testament. There were widowers. There were single fathers and single mothers raising children and so on. Even back then, it's no different today. We might think it's messy, but it's no different today. God is the God of all. And so the family unit might look totally different today to you, but not to God. There are stepfathers, and there are stepmothers, and there are stepchildren, and God puts those together, and I truly believe that God uses them exactly where he's placed them. That's what it should look like. And so if you're a stepfather or you're a stepmother or you're a stepchild today, you need to be thankful that God's given you those people in your life. It's a good thing. In fact, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in that. We should be no different today. But let me just say one word of caution here to you. God says when two come together, and it could be a mother and a father and whatever it might be, a family. You know, he says, when you come together, I want you to be married, right? That's what I want human sexuality to look like in the confines of marriage if you're going to come together in those types of relations. Don't step outside of that, is what he says. Be careful with those things. So let me share with you this morning of what human sexuality is not. That's a good term for us, a good way for the, what does God, you know, because I've been speaking to you about what should it look like and what should it be about, but let me tell you what it's not. And you might find yourself in the middle of these things, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's what I want you to share with you in the bottom of the screen in that sentence. When we diverge from God's plan for human sexuality, it becomes a sin if we practice them. Right? If we begin to do those things, God says you are now entering the battlefield of sin in your life. He says, I don't want you to go there. So here's some things I want to speak to you about. Let me also clarify this with you. When it comes to sexual sin, no one sin is worse than the other. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Now, it does say that when we commit a sexual sin, it's unto the body, right? He warns us of that is not a good thing because it can be hurtful. You can live with the consequences of what you might have decided to do the rest of your life in those situations. But it's a sin upon the body. But what I want you to know is that when I speak of what it's not, I'm not saying that this is better than this or that's worse than that. God says it's all equal in my eyes, right? And you have to remember the world has tainted it, the world's corrupted it, and it's perverted it. Human sexuality. Here's what it's not. And this is a rough list, and you might come up with more in your own mind of things that, you know, God says we should stay away from that. So here's my list for you. I did not put it on the screen, but you can take notes or do whatever you want. But God says premarital sex, not allowed. Not allowed. That's what he says. He says homosexuality, not allowed. It's out the confines of marriage. It's not what I intended for marriage to look like. Having sexual relations outside your marriage relationship. The Bible says no. Fornication, no. Right? You don't get to have a husband and a wife that can have a girlfriend or a boyfriend on the side. God says no to that relationship. Cohabitation, right? For some of you that need to know what cohabitation means, that means when two people live together and they're not married, right? God says no to that type of relationship. I'm going to stop for just a 1 minute. I was debating whether I was going to speak to this, but I'm going to this morning. I do quite a few weddings, and I get opinions from some of you that say, Rob, you shouldn't marry those people because they live together. So let me give you my theory as a pastor on that this morning. When I have couples that come to me, because I'm going to be honest with you, just about all the people that I marry live together. Just a little slime, a slender piece of them that come to me that say, nope, we still live in our own homes yet. Maybe 5% out of the 100% that I do out of those weddings. But some of you, you come against me and say, why do you marry them? And so here is the point I want to bring to you this morning. This is an opportunity for me as a pastor to sit down with them and speak truth into their life. So when you sign on to get married by me, guess what? You're doing 3 sessions of premarital counseling. And guess what? You're going to hear from me that if you're living together, that you are in a sinful relationship. Why are you living like that? This is what God intended. What do you got to do to change that? You can move out, most of them don't, or you can get married, and you better ask God for forgiveness, because God says clearly that if you live like that and you die, you don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's straightforward, being honest with young people that are getting married today. I'd rather have that than say, nope, I'm not going to marry you. Then they go to the justice of the peace, and they live how they want to. That's where I come from as a pastor today. There's grace in the mix of all of this, by the way. There's forgiveness in the mix of all of this, by the way, when it comes to human sexuality. Let me just talk about a few more. Being bisexual. Some of you might say, well, God, I've never heard of that term before. Being transsexual. Here's one that might... You might know, what does that mean? When somebody says, I am non-binary. How many of you heard of that word before, binary? Yeah, some of you, are you starting to hear that word come in our media? And what that means is that they claim neither male nor female. I'm genderless. And God clearly stated in Scripture that he created you male or female. And as soon as we decide that, you know what, I'm going to be non-binary, we just said, God, I don't need you. I don't believe in your ways, in your teaching. And people rebel against God in those types of situations. God says, don't go there. That's not how I intended how you to live. Pornography. Another big topic in our day with cell phones and the accessibility of it and getting into young lives. And I was reading something on, you know, I'm flipping through my phone and you look at the topics of the week and I'm flipping through this week and I find in in the state of California, and you're from California this morning, God forbid that I go against you, but this is what they're teaching their first grade students now, that they want to teach them the proper terminology and things for pornography to first graders in California so they get a better understanding of pornography. What is going on in our world today? Right? Totally distorts the plan for God's vision of human sexuality. God says, stay away from it. Right? Men, if you want to destroy your wife, if you want your wife to feel that she's less than, just look at pornography. Because that's what you do to her. All of a sudden, she's not good enough anymore. That's the message she gets. So my message here to you today, young men, old men, wherever you might find yourself, and even women can even get caught in this, but men are more than likely, is stay away from pornography. And if you've got a problem with it, get some help. Come talk to me about it in your life. So all these things that I've listed for you this morning, these different types of human sexuality that are practiced today, God says they're all immoral, they're all sinful. Stay away. Stay away, is what he says. James 1, I don't know if I have that on the screen here today. It's one of these verses that you're going to have to write down. Here's what it says. James 1, 14 and 15. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. All right? Then after the desire is conceived, the thought process, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Sin can lead you away from eternity. Sin can lead you away from God the Father in heaven. Sin can lead you away from spending the rest of your life with Jesus, with your loved ones in heaven. That's what God says. All those things I just talked to you about lead you away from God the Father in heaven. Lead you away from spending life in eternity with your loved ones and with Jesus Christ. Leads to spiritual death. Now, I'm not your judge. I'm not your judge. But the Bible teaches that if we're willing to live in these sexual sins, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, that one's on your screen. When we're in these situations of sinful, and I can cross over many paths here, not only sexual, but other things as well. God says, flee from those sins. Flee from sexual immorality. Get away. Get away. So here's the question that I want to ask you this morning. It's going to come up on the screen, the next one. This is what you and I need to decide in our lives. Here it is. Are you going to serve your own sinful desires, or are you going to serve God when it comes to human sexuality? That's the decision that we each need to make. Right? Young people, this is for you, that if you're not married, and maybe you're looking at getting married or whatever it might be in those situations, this is what God says. You can choose to live this way, but just know that it's not going to lead me to me. Or you can follow me with all your heart, and this is how I want you to live. That's the question that lies before each one of us. And so let me finish up with this morning. So how should we view others who fail to keep Scripture's teaching, right? So what do we do? Because we know that we live in a community, we live in a culture today that says, you know, all these things are fine, they're acceptable. They're even trying to get the church to come alongside and say, yep, that's totally fine how you want to live and those things. What are you going to do with those people, right? Are you going to run them out of town? Nope, because you're going to have to get run out with them, right? Right? They are us, all sinners. All of them, in need of God's grace. We're no better than they are. The difference might be that you might have asked for forgiveness of your sins and been forgiven that as you live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's something else I want you to recognize. The world that you and I live in, not everybody's a follower of God. Not everybody's a Bible-believing person in the world that you and I live in, and they think this stuff is foreign. They live without the Holy Spirit in their life, and they're not going to live that way. So what do you do in that situation? You be the light. You share the goodness of God. You let them know that there's forgiveness and there's grace and there's a way to eternal life through Him. The world is an evil place. Satan has deceived many today. Satan's deceived many into thinking that sexual practices outside of marriage, it's totally fine. It's acceptable. It's okay. The Bible teaches that it's not. And if I'm going to do one thing for you today, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. And I'm not going to back away from that because I want you to know how to get to heaven one day. Because if I can't do that, then I just will not even be here today. So if you find yourself in that situation, I encourage you to make some changes. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to ask Jesus to take you out of those situations that you might find yourself in. And by the way, ask for forgiveness, because all of us need to ask that often for many things in our lives. God's a God of mercy. In grace, and love, and forgiveness, all made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ for everyone. And so I urge you, parents, grandparents, wherever you find yourself, share God's design for human sexuality with your family, with your children. Talk about it often of what God intended it to be like, because the culture will teach them otherwise. Sometimes I run into some parents that they come to, you know, I hear them saying, well, my kid's 10 or he's 12. Should I be talking about these things? And let me tell you something. They've probably heard a lot more than what you realize already. They know a lot more than what you realize already. And they might be learning it from their friends at school or on the bus or on the playground or whatever it might be, or from the TV or for the songs they listen to, right? Go have those truthful talks with them, those appropriate talks, the appropriate words for maybe where you find themselves at today. God will give you the words to speak. I guarantee you He will. And you'll never regret those conversations with your kids. Let's pray.